Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to live your life by design in 2009? Well, then sit back, relax, and enjoy an empowering conversation to advance and enhance your life. And now, your host, Miss Kathy Holloway Hill and Mr. Tony Lamont.
Good evening, listeners. I am Kathy Holloway Hill.
And I'm Tony Lamont.
And you're here listening to the Living by Design show. Welcome, everyone. Welcome. We are going to have a great show this evening. It is mayhem here in Louisville, Kentucky, because of the Kentucky Derby. My goodness. Oh, man, it is so much activity going on here in the city, and parties and activities and events and parades and oof, you name it. I don't know where you guys are listening from, but wherever you're listening from, if you're planning to come to Kentucky for the Derby, you better go ahead and get here, because I tell you, this city is full of people. How are you doing this evening, Mr. Lamont?
Doing pretty good. Doing pretty good. Just a busy day today, but it's been kind of rainy here and kind of blah, but got through it. It's been a blessing regardless.
Well, it's definitely not blah here. We've got so many parties going on, like I mentioned, with the Derby, and every year they have a grand gala, and it's a Derby party for prominent African-American celebrities and people, and this year, I know Tom Joyner is going to be hosting something on Friday night, and then on Saturday night, they're going to have this really big swanky party, Tom Joyner and Gabrielle Union, Lynn Whitfield, Tashina Arnold, Boris Cujo and Nicole Arie Parker, and Michael Jordan, Chris Tucker, Keith Sweat. Too many people to even think of naming. I think Fantasia or either Tina Marie is going to perform, and there's another party going on with Paris Hilton and Brooke Shields and Kid Rock. And I know last year Brad and Angelina were there, and I don't know if they're going to be here this year. But it's really a lot of stuff going on in the city. So the weather is pretty, and I'm in Indiana, but I'm only a couple of miles from downtown Louisville. So I live very, very close to the Kentucky Derby. So I'm sure I'll be getting my share of partying in.
Well,
but anyway, moving on, huh?
I said it sounds like a fun weekend.
Yeah, I think it's going to be. So, but moving on, tonight we are having another one of our fabulous Women's Relationship Wednesday segments, and this segment has been very successful, and thank you to all you loyal listeners for your email notes and your comments about this segment. And we're going to keep it going because I know you really are enjoying it. So we have a great guest that we're going to be bringing on the line here shortly, Mr. Jason Miller. But before we get to him, I just want to give you a little bit of sneak preview into what's coming up. Next week, we will not be here. We will not be on the air next week. But the following week, May 13th, our guest will be Joyce Oglesby. And she has a very good book entitled Keeping His Pants On Until He Gets Home. Now, if you think the title is a little risque, you ought to see the cover of the book. It's very, very good. Now, unlike our topic tonight, we'll be talking about singles, but Joyce's book speaks directly to married couples and how to keep the home fire burning, how to ensure that your mate comes home and doesn't spread his fun around, for lack of a better term. So she will be joining us on May 13th. And then the following week, the 20th, Tony, do you know what that day is?
The following week on the 20th.
May 20th.
May 20th.
Our May 20th show.
Let me see. May 20th. Remind me.
Oh, Tony. Remind you.
Yeah, okay. Remind me.
Okay, it is our anniversary show.
Has it been a year?
It has been. It will be on May 20th.
Okay.
It will be our anniversary show. We are going to have a lot of fun on that show. So mark that on your calendars, May 20th. It's going to be a fun-filled show. We're going to have giveaways and prizes. We're going to have Dr. Ian Smith is going to be joining us for a while. He's going to be on that day, and he's going to share some of his new upcoming projects. He is the 50 million pound challenge doctor, and he's on tour right now. So he's going to be joining us. It's going to be a really fun show. So we want to make sure everyone joins us that night. So moving on, I want to, you know what? No, I'm not going to steal Jason's thunder. I am going to let him talk about his book and some of the interesting projects that he's working on. So Jason Miller, author of Lover or Loser, is on the line. Jason, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you.
Great.
Can you hear me?
We are so happy. Yes, I can hear you. Yes,
okay,
I can.
Okay.
Yeah. We're glad.
How you doing, Kathy and Tony?
Good.
And you?
I'm doing real well.
Oh, good.
Can't complain.
Great. I can't complain because we've got a lot going on here. And well, I'm in Indiana, as I explained, but I'm just a hop, skip, and a jump away from Louisville, and it is really bustling over there.
Mm-hmm.
The Kentucky Derby is on Saturday. I just don't understand how one little short horse race can bring about so much activity in the city, but, you know, it goes on all week long, even though the race is only for a few minutes on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
But so at any rate, Jason, our topic tonight is our Women's Relationship Wednesdays. And for those of you who don't know, Jason, before you get started, for those of you who don't know, Jason and I met at the Indianapolis Women's Empowerment Series back in March, and we sit on a panel discussion together. So we decided that we were going to do some other projects together, and we've got quite a few things coming up, and we'll talk about that a little bit later on as we get into our discussion here. But I will let Jason talk to you about, you know, Jason, you can start out talking a little bit about yourself, your background, or if you can want to talk about your book. I love the title of your book, Lover or Loser. So you can tell us how you came up with that title.
Okay, well, it's kind of, I'll give you the short version. Both of my parents are ordained ministers. And actually, my mother is the Indiana chaplain for the NAACP for Indiana. And I've been around, like, relationship counseling, you know, my whole life. And as a young man, you know, I went through some ups and downs in relationships. And instead of being bitter and, you know, having a negative outlook on relationships and women and, you know, just dating in general, I really studied the topic and really got into it. And a lot of my friends, you know, due to my parents, came to me with relationship advice. And, you know, I got tired of saying the same thing, so I ended up writing a manuscript to give to all of them. And one of my good friends from Channel 13, Steve Jefferson, was telling me I should make it into a book. And, you know, to make a long story short, I ended up, you know, taking his advice. And I've sold over 5,000 copies since July 11th, 2008. And it's been a blessing since. It's called Lover or Loser, Your Personal Relationship Guide. And my goal was basically, because I actually work in education as well, so I even see the negative effects of bad marriages and relationships even on kids, you know, education. And I set a goal for myself. I really want to change the world one relationship at a time.
Oh, that's great. That's fabulous. Well, you said you mentioned both your parents are ordained ministers. How long have they been married?
Well, they actually divorced when I was in kindergarten, and I'm 27 years old now. But it's kind of, they're like best friends. You know, it was best for both of them to do that. And you know, it wasn't a bad breakup or anything like that. But they're actually real good friends to this day.
Well, that's unusual because typically, when the marriage doesn't work, neither does the friendship or the relationship, the discussion, and that is actually a good thing, Jason, because when you do have children together, you really do want to try to maintain a good civil relationship, at least for the children's sake. So good for you, good for them.
Definitely.
Yeah. So how did you come up with the title of the book?
Well, I did a lot of praying about it, and it just and that actually was like my fifth choice. Like, it was a lot of different things. I've seen a lot of people were dealing with relationships and stuff like that. So I just wanted something catchy and that would hit home. And it actually, I came up with it in probably like 15 minutes. And, you know, I narrowed it down and, you know, around like 15 minutes, I just really felt like that was it. So it didn't take that long to come up with the name.
It's very interesting. It's really catchy. It's really catchy. I like it. Well, do you have just one specific principle that your entire book is focused around, or do you have several principles that you talk about in the book?
Well, there's 26 chapters covering the most important relationship, the most, you know, the most talked about and the most, you know, the issues that a lot of people go through in marriages and relationships. So it's a manual,
okay,
and it's
so
geared towards
marriage and not just dating, but marriage too.
Yeah, both. And it's kind of like a manual. It's kind of like a book that you read in its entirety the first time, and then you go back to it when you're dealing with a certain issue in your relationship or marriage.
Like a resource guide.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, most of my listeners ultimately want to get married, Jason, but for now, they really just struggle with finding a good man to date. I mean, that's the biggest complaint and question that I hear from so many of my clients and the people that listen to my radio show. They just can't seem to find a good, decent guy to date. I mean, do you have any tips or thoughts on where to find a good guy?
Well, I look at it like this. It's just a lot of people want to say the marriage and relationships are two totally different things. I would like to beg to differ because you know, for the sake of arguing, why did a lot of people get married in the first place? Because the relationship got them there. And why do most people get divorced? It's because the relationship aspect of their marriage was missing. So, you know, from that standpoint, I really think people need to really look at it instead of a marriage as a relationship. And I think a lot of people's relationships and marriages will last a lot longer. But as far as where do I find a good man, or is there any good man, you know, out here and stuff like that, I just really feel like, you know, I put it like this. If it's God's will, we will all live at least, you know, 5 to 10 to 15, 20 years from now. So no matter what happens, we're going to live 5 to 10 to 20 years from now. So it's what we do, it's what our focus is during that 5 to 10 to 20 years. And I see a lot of people, you know, single people that are so lonely and just so, you know, wrapped up in finding a mate, that's their only focus, instead of focusing on their lives, focusing on their careers, their children's lives, just life in general. And once you change your focus, it seems like people tend to get married. Because you can ask any married couple or anybody in a relationship, 9 times out of 10, they'll tell you it just happened. You know, they might have been going to the grocery store, or they might have been paying some bills or something like that, and then it just happened. And a lot of people don't like to let it happen. They just want to force it, and that's why we get into these forced marriages and these forced relationships, and that's why the breakup and the divorce levels are so high.
Yep. Yeah, I agree with you, Jason, because, you know what, I think a lot of it is contributed to, and I'm in the process of writing a new book, too, and I talk a little bit about this, not from a relationship perspective, but just from a life perspective as far as not being in control of our lives and being miserable and in the wrong career and those types of things. I think a lot of it comes from people get so caught up in what the media says and what society says should happen that every woman over the age of 25 starts to get crazy and panicky and, you know, and miserable because she doesn't have a, you know, committed relationship.
And a lot of them look at their girlfriend.
That's why I said society, because, you know, they look at other people and, you know, they listen to what the media says because it should be this way. Well, whose rule is that?
And a lot of people they're looking at and basing their relationships off of, they're really not happy themselves. A lot of people out here seem to be happy and, oh, I'm married and, oh, I'm in a relationship. But behind closed doors, they're miserable. But we don't see that.
You know, and I'm going to have to give you props on that one because I lived that life. I lived that life. I was in a very bad marriage for a long time, many years, more than 10 years. And
mm-hmm.
I would talk to my friends about it. Jason, I would, you know, just talk to my friends for support. And they knew I was miserable. And you know what they said to me?
What did they say?
Well, at least he married you. At least he married you. Like, just being married in itself was supposed to be a prize. It doesn't
mm-hmm.
matter if you're miserable. I mean, the same thing goes for making a lot of money in a good job. Well, if you're making six figures, it doesn't matter if you're happy in the job or not. At least you got a good-paying job. It, you know, I think the mindset of people are just, you know, I don't know. The mindsets are just really kind of different. And I know it has a lot to do with the beliefs and what we hear from society and the media and everyone else. We allow it to get in our heads and get in our subconscious thoughts, and it just sits there and lays there like a cancer, and it just festers away, and it affects our lives in a negative way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jason,
right.
I wanted to ask, you know, because you've got some very interesting chapter titles in your book, and you explained very detailed about some of the things that folks can do. I mean, I love the titles. Are They Really Into Me? Long Distance Relationships, Love and Finance, People Who Fall in Love Quickly, Spiritual Connections, Dating the Rich or Famous. I finally got them now. What? That kind of thing. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, coming up with these titles, you're covering so many aspects of relationships, and I just wanted to pull one out. You know, how should I act in a relationship? Because that's one of the challenges, and there seems to be a difference when it comes to acting a particular way in relationships for men and women. Women think they should act a particular way. Men think they should act a particular way. And are there any commonalities between those two?
Mm-hmm. I think both parties, men and women, I think what happens is they stop doing the things they did to start the relationship to keep the relationship going.
Amen.
You know, a lot of people.
Amen. You on that one?
Yeah, you know, just even from your wife, like, well, I don't have to get my hair done anymore. I'm married. I got them now. Or I don't have to work out. She loves me now, so I don't have to work out and take care of myself. No, when you were, you know, I hate to say this. I'm not trying to down anybody's weight or down anybody, you know, what they're going through. But when they fell in love with you, they fell in love with you how you were at that time. Yes, everybody will change, but you represent your partner now. So something in you should want to be like, I want to put my best foot forward because I'm representing her or I'm representing him. That's just from an outward standpoint. From the relationship standpoint, you still got a date. Like, a lot of people tend to, you know, stop flirting, going out on dates, because I really feel that this marriage, the word marriage is messing up a lot of people. They feel like they don't have to do the relationship type duties in the marriage. And that's when you really need to, that's when I feel like a lot of people really need to, like, really jump into the relationship aspect of their marriages more.
Gotcha.
Well, let me get you to expand a little bit on that, Jason, because, you know, you did hit on something very, very interesting. Okay, let's say that you are in a relationship. You know, Tony just
mm-hmm.
mentioned something about, you know, men behaving a certain way and women behaving a certain way. Let's say you're in a relationship and the relationship started out great, everything was wonderful, and then, you know, all of a sudden, for the last couple of years, you've been in a relationship, let's say 5 years or so, and all of a sudden for the last couple of years, things are just really drab and
mm-hmm.
blah. And you ask your partner for, you know, what's going on, what you know, let's just say, you know, it's a female, and she's asking her partner about, you know, what's going on. Let's talk about our future together because, you know, I'm just not feeling the energy like it was in the beginning. And you know, she's told by her partner, let's say he says, well, I don't know, I don't have answers, or, you know, he kind of just shrugs it off. What does she do?
You saying the guy is kind of like nonchalant with it instead of really trying to meet her needs?
Well, yeah, I'm just, yes, exactly. Well, I'm just saying that, you know, I don't really have any specific reason why, but it just seems like the energy is kind of, you know, it's just not as bright as it used to be, or it's not as exciting as it used to be. But whenever,
well, I just think,
you know,
that's when you need to. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. That's go ahead. I okay. want the answer.
I just think a lot of people don't change it up, because a lot of people, you know, it goes from communication. Okay, I don't know if you remember that interview we did together, Tony, when we were talking about communication.
Right.
And a lot of people, and this is in a relationship that's not meant to be together. You know, everybody's like, well, communication, we're communicating. And I kind of compared that to going to a junkyard with brand new oil and gas and putting it into a car that's never, ever going anywhere. Now, if you're with somebody you're not supposed to be with, you're going to talk to them till they're blue in the face, and they're not going to change because something's in them, because the relationship isn't meant to be. So you can talk until you're blue in the face. And that's what you're saying, Kathy. A lot of people are doing that. First of all, they're in the wrong relationships, so it's not going to last anyway. So the only thing they're doing is they're communicating or talking to a brick wall or putting oil and gas into a car that's never going anywhere, and that's why the situation is like that. Now, somebody you're compatible with, you're not going to fight to keep your relationship going. You're going to work through it, so you're going to work on the relationship. So when a woman comes to her man and says, hey, you know, we need to work on this, that guy is going to want to be with her. That guy, they're compatible, he's going to want to make it work. So their communication is going to turn into action. So if your communication is not turning into action, you're in a dead-end relationship because they don't want to change.
Hello, Kathy, are you there? Yeah,
I don't know, you might have lost her.
Yeah, it may have dropped off. So, and I'm pretty sure folks are probably still listening in. Sometimes we do have some technical problems. So, Jason, when you talk about the relationship and when you talk about how it affects the men and women and some of the signs, let's talk about how a woman should treat starting a relationship, because that seems to be where there's such a disparity between ideas. Some women think that, well, I'll go in and act this particular way and I'll be okay. And some women think, well, I won't do this or I won't do that and I'm going to be okay. And if he wants me, he's going to put up with it. How should that go? Because, I mean, there's so many different ways and so many different ideas about how women should handle themselves when they first meet a guy and they're interested in him, but they don't want to show their hand too much. So how should they handle things?
Well, I think if they're going into a 40%, I just think they're going to get a 40% relationship, or they're going to get a 40% result. I feel like if you go in 100% being you, you don't have to throw all your insecurities or all that out on the table, but I feel like if you go in 100% and they know everything about you, you have a better, your relationship has a better chance in the long run. And I like to use examples like I really feel like becoming best friends. That is the number one factor and that's that compatibility point I was talking about. That's the number one factor in keeping a relationship going. Yes, we can hear you.
Oh, great.
Go ahead, Jason.
But I just feel like from a compatibility standpoint, I feel like the long run, the relationship is going to last longer in the long run. Like, you guys can be at the library and have the time of your life. You can be at a park and have the time of your life. And because that's your best friend. But a lot of people go into it, you know, well, hey, he's so handsome or she's so beautiful. And basically, you're building your relationship on something that's going to change one day. You're not going to always look the same. You're not always going to, you know, be the same. So when a lot of people build it on the compatibility or the friendship standpoint, and then you could be 100% of yourself and you don't have to fake it, the relationships, to me, is a beautiful thing when you can be yourself and that person genuinely loves you for who you are instead of somebody you're portraying to be.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry I got knocked off. I'm not sure what happened.
Oh, that's no problem.
Man. That's fine.
So basically, I was just looking at it like from that standpoint. Like if people, you know, don't go in, people go in from a 40% or a 20%, you know, start. I feel like they're going to get, you know, 40% or maybe a 60% Andy, because nobody's being 100% real.
Right.
Well, I missed that question, Tony, so I'm not sure what you asked. I know when I got disconnected, I was in the middle of asking a question, but maybe you went ahead and finished it, so that's good.
If you want to go ahead and finish it, because we went in, I just asked about how to start a relationship off. So if you want to finish your question, that's fine.
Well, no, I was asking the question about people that are already in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say one partner wants to have a permanent commitment and the other partner doesn't. And I was asking Jason, you know, in the case of a female, asking her male partner, you know, what's going to happen with our future, and he says he doesn't know, doesn't have answers, and he wants the relationship, but nothing seems to be, you know, moving in that direction, and, you know, what do you do?
I really look at that. I hear a lot of people with those same type questions, and I really feel, you know, I hate to say it, I just really feel it's a cop-out. To me, I feel, especially from a woman's standpoint, I feel like a woman knows what she wants from you within the first 5 minutes of meeting you. Not saying she wants to spend the rest of her life with you, but I really feel like a woman really knows what she wants, or if you have the potential to be what she wants in the future. So when people say they don't know and stuff like that, to me that's just really a cop-out, and I really feel like that's somebody, I feel like they're waiting on a different situation, or they're playing their cards, or they're really just trying to, you know, They're trying to keep something on the side, or they're trying to keep another situation going.
Well, what if it's the flip reverse? The man is the one saying those things.
Yeah, I said the first 5 minutes for a female. I feel like the first minute, you know what I mean, or the first couple of seconds with a guy really knows what he wants. And you know how it is, Tony. A guy can work two or three jobs. And if he wants to come home to his wife or his girlfriend, he'll do that.
Mm-hmm.
So when a guy says he doesn't know, that's really like, to me, from my standpoint, I really feel like, you know, something's wrong.
Yep. Sounds sensible, logical to me. So
yeah.
If that's the case, Jason, when women are out there looking for Mr. Right, how do they avoid getting themselves connected with someone that may do that to them down the road after they've been with them for several years, and then all of a sudden the guy just loses interest and, you know, he's busy and he doesn't have time for her? How can you spot someone like that initially, or is it impossible to spot the person initially? To know that?
No, and I think, I really think it's easy. It's these three things. It's these three things, and if I feel like if a lot of people use these three things, we won't, the divorce rate and the breakup rate would dramatically decrease. And the first one is compatibility, communication, listening to their words, and overlooking things. I feel like so many people overlook the small things that they know will fester into a major problem later on in their relationship. But like you said, a lot of women say, well, at least I'm in a relationship, or at least I'm married, or at least I got somebody, so I'm going to overlook that, even though that gets on my nerves. Yeah, that's going to get on your nerves in the beginning, but further down the line, that's going to really get on your nerves to the point where it can affect your relationship. But so many people, and then the words, you got to look at the words, like, hey, I love you. They don't say I love you too, or, you know, or I don't know, or that's a sign that they're telling you I'm not in this relationship like you are. But a lot of people overlook those things. And then the compatibility, if you can be yourself with somebody, that is just, so many people are missing that aspect, you know, alone. Not too many people are married to their best friends or in a relationship with their best friends. They're in a relationship with off of lust, looks, a job, you know, a certain position somebody might hold. It's just not, you know, a lot of people are not in real relationships. So those three things right there, I really feel, can change the world when it comes to relationships.
Well, what about situations that I hear this so many times from my female clients as well as friends and associates?
Mm-hmm.
What about situations where the guy is saying that in the beginning? Let's say that the guy is saying all the right things. I mean, everything is looking great, and he's wonderful.
And his actions are lining up with his words, too?
Yeah, his actions are aligning with his words. His actions are aligning with his words, and, you know, they're just rolling along and everything's great until, bam, one day he just stops calling. What do they do? And how can they spot that? What can they do in the beginning to try to avoid going down that road where somebody is putting on a false front or a false face to get, you know, to second or third base, and then once he gets there, he's gone?
Now, I'm a firm believer of love is a long-term action, and I feel like a lot of men and women show short-term actions, and people make their decision off of short-term actions. Now, if a guy's making these long-term, you know, his words are lining up with his actions 10 years down the road or 20 years down the road, he's in it for the long haul. But I see so many people say, well, he's been so good, or she's been so good for the, you know, these last 2 or 3 months. I think this is the one. No, that's easy. That's so easy. That's a short-term action. So, you know, from that standpoint, you got to look at it long-term. Now, if they're doing this from a long-term standpoint, you know, hey, they're in it to win it. If not, you know, don't make a hasty decision when it comes to short-term actions. And then on the flip side, guys do change when their women change. You know, I can't let all the women off the hook and say, you know, the guy is, you know, he's a dog now because he did all this stuff in the beginning and stuff like that. You have to look at both sides. You know, maybe she did some things that changed his view on her. So I get what you're saying, but it's a hard, and that's a kind of a hard question to answer, because you got to see it from both ways. Because people do change and people do fall out of love for different reasons.
Right. Well, I know this is something that I hear quite a bit. So, you know, and I'm asking you these questions based on email notes that I get all the time, constantly, especially since I've started this Women's Relationship Wednesday series. How long should a woman wait when she meets Mr. Wonderful, and he's saying all the right things and doing all the right things, his behaviors are matching his words and everything, is just, it's a honeymoon. How long should she wait before she becomes intimate with him?
Now, that's the most complicated question, and there will never, and I can honestly say there will never, ever be an answer to that question, because there's been relationships and marriages that have lasted for, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40 years that happen off, you know, they might have been intimate in, you know, in the first day. While
others, I agree.
Don't,
I know the same. Yeah, I know people like that too.
And while other people be like, no, I'm going to wait, and I'm going to, you know, I'm going to make him put in work for this, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And their relationships end, you know, as soon as they're intimate, because let's face it, you can't be around your partner 24/7. So, yeah, he can wait on you, but that doesn't mean he's not messing with other women, you know, and on the flip side. So it's just, there will never be an answer to that, because everybody's different, you know, just like, you know, every relationship is different. But there's no answer to that.
Yeah, Jason, this is a live show, so I'm just going to go to the line here to see if the callers are just listening in or if they actually have a question. So, we're going to go to area code 704. Area code 704, do you have a question?
Yeah, I was just, how you doing? Just listening at the brother right there, and I just want to make a comment in terms of, you know, relationships. See, I was born in the 60s, grew up in the 80s. See, I grew up in the back in the day where love was just love. You didn't have a lot of games, system, your brother, everything was everything. See, now the whole system is different now. You don't know what the cat is gaming. And he's swearing down, he's serious. So what I suggest is for men and women is just prepare yourself for what you want to be. If you prepare yourself to be a wife, not just married, men, prepare yourself to be husband. Secondly, it's important if you meet a woman or a man, talk about the past relationships, because that'll give you an idea. See, don't look for nothing. Just kind of question, like, well, if you think the dude is nice, he got everything going, and find out, you know, depending on his age, well, tell me about your past relationship, because you might find a little inconsistency there. You might find something that could put you on hold. Because sometimes when women get hurt so long, the first guy come along, sounds right, seems right, you know, it happens. Your emotions get caught up, and sometimes the best antidote is wait. The best antidote is, but when you want to be in love or you just want the Mr. Right, sometimes you can't see it for the trees and the forest. Take your time. Find out about his father, find out if you had any relationship, male upbringing, what taught him how to love. Because if a man's never been taught how to love, and you run into a dude who talks it, but don't have no male. Because, see, really, men get taught a lot by their moms, but when you get the man taught by their father, he teaches him how to love a woman. So when you the aspect, you kind of just feel around and always keep it on a friend base. That way you can weigh your odds and you don't have to worry about getting caught up. Because I tell people, look, don't lay down with somebody because you can't blame him. I don't care if he's lying or not. If you choose to lay down, you reassess yourself and say, you know what, I made a bad decision. I'm not going to blame him. I'm just going to say I should have never laid, but take your time. Stop worrying about, don't look for things. Well, I know it. Take your time and once.
That's a very good point.
That's real good. That's real good.
Caller?
Yeah, it sounds like we lost him. So.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he did make a good point in that, you know, as far as waiting and, you know, and I don't know. I'm one of those old-fashioned kind of people. I don't have a lot of experience, and I, you know, I just don't really feel comfortable, you know, moving from here and there and here and there. So I think I agree with the weight comment.
Let me ask others might disagree. Yeah, let me ask this, Jason, because it's everybody seems to have these rules about what should or shouldn't be done, what is right or what's wrong. And everybody seems to be looking for a special kind of formula. But is there any such thing? I mean, or do you live what you live and put yourself in front of everything and love yourself first and then the relationship? Because here's what I'm getting to. When it comes to relationships, men and women, and a lot of women will go out there looking for a man. Mm-hmm. But from a biblical standpoint, they shouldn't be doing that in the first place. Now, the thing is, I mean, you can't really look at the Bible from that standpoint, because if that were the case, the ratio of men to women, there would be a lot of women that never would meet a man. So,
definitely.
So what do you say to that situation when there are women that say, well, I'm going to wait on that man to find me? And what do you say to the women that are out there looking for those men and seemingly having a very difficult time finding those individuals?
Well, I think you nailed it from the beginning of your statement where you said love yourself first, because when it comes from cheating or, you know, being dogged out in a relationship or even putting up with, you know, stuff that you should not be putting up with, is because a lot of people don't love themselves. So they feel like they feel like they can't do any better. So I feel like that is so important into making a relationship work, is loving yourself. Because if you don't respect yourself, your partner will never respect you, especially a man and a woman. That's one. As far as rules, there's no rules because nobody's the same. So it's no way I could be like, well, my wife better believe this, she better believe this, she better believe this, because that's how I was raised. That's my upbringing. But her upbringing might have been totally different from anything I'm used to. So my rules may not apply to her, and we will definitely bump heads because we don't view life the same. So I really feel like, as far as looking at how the first caller said, you know, waiting and getting to know people and being friends, I think that's the best, because, you know, even take your best friends, Tony. Y'all probably don't view life 100% the same, but it's similar. It's very similar to a lot of guys out here who you don't hang around. So that's why they are your friends, because you guys aren't identical twins, but you are very, very similar. And I just think that's the same thing in relationships, is because I really feel like you need to find somebody close with close enough beliefs as you do. Nobody will be exactly like you, but if you find somebody close enough, to me, that's the best bet. But as far as rules, I don't feel like there's no rules.
Okay.
Yeah, and Tony, as far as what you just said, see, I think that's where compatibility comes in, because I agree. I don't think there are any specific rules either that say what's right or what's wrong. You know, as long as you all are compatible and you're able to communicate, you set your own rules.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who's to say that, you know, somebody else may look at your situation and say, wow, you're crazy for being in that situation, but you're not in it with that person. You're in it with your partner. Mm-hmm. If it's working for you and your partner and you all are on the same page, or even better than that, you're in the same paragraph, you're in the same sentence. And people on the outside looking in say, oh, I don't know what's going on there. But as long as you and your partner are compatible and together and you communicate, it's all good.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I say that. And I want to make two comments. As far as upbringing, Jason, you mentioned something about upbringing. I just want to let my listeners know that all the time upbringing may not be a good indicator of how you should conduct your relationship. Again, I'm going to go back to what I said just a minute ago, that compatibility and communication with your partner, I think, is what should override anything, including your upbringing, because I was raised in a very, very strictly religious household.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents were married for 53 years before my dad passed away, and my parents were strictly against divorce. And I stayed in an extremely dysfunctional marriage
mm-hmm.
for over 15 years because of my upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I shouldn't have done that, Jason. I shouldn't have done that. But because I was taught the way I was taught, I just thought I was going to, you know, burn in hell if I were to get a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
But when I did get a divorce, my life just, you know, it's been absolutely wonderful. And then, you know, later on I met another guy, another gentleman that was like worlds, planets, galaxies away from, totally different, on the other end of the spectrum from my ex-husband. So
mm-hmm.
I don't think your upbringing should have such a significant influence on the decisions you make, because it might kind of mess you up.
No, this is what I meant by the upbringing. I was saying, like take a guy who was just raised by his mother, or,
mm-hmm.
you know, he doesn't have a male influence. Just say the only influences he had was from the streets. So when he has
mm-hmm.
a kid, only thing he can be able to teach his kid is what he knows. He can't make up anything that he doesn't know. So his upbringing is dictating his lessons and his life lessons to his kid. So what I'm saying is your upbringing can create a negative domino effect in your family, because if you don't know better, you can't do better. So what I'm saying is, like, your upbringing was strictly, you know, like you said, Christian based. But take somebody from the streets who don't know anything about God or anything about, you know, religion and stuff like that. You could bump heads, because you might want to go to church every Sunday. They might not. You might want to raise your kids a certain way. They might not. So from a compatibility standpoint, you have none at all. And that's what I'm saying. That's why I look at the rules and the upbringing and stuff like that. And as far as, like the caller said, asking questions. If you ask questions and stuff like that, you'll know that at the beginning. So it's nobody's fault if you two get married. It's your fault, because you knew at the beginning how he wanted to raise his kids, or how she wanted to raise her kids. So if you get a divorce then, it's kind of like, oh, wow, you know, maybe I should have waited a little bit longer. But that's what I'm saying from the upbringing standpoint. I'm just looking at it from a compatibility standpoint. You know what I mean?
Now, let me ask you this, Jason, because you hear this all the time in relationships, and guys do it and women do it. And
mm-hmm.
and this, well, I can change them.
Oh,
I
man.
I can get them to... You know, they are this particular way or that particular way, but once they're around me, you know, I'll make some subtle suggestions and I'll change them. What do you say about that kind of mentality when it comes to relationships?
Everybody does it.
I compare that to, like, this marathon coming up. I don't want to run it. I work out, but I don't want to run that marathon. So that's like a woman trying to change me to say, hey, Jason, run 15 miles a day, every day. I might do it for a little bit just to, you know, to please my wife, but that's not in me to do that. That's not my focus to do that. So eventually I'm not going to do it. She could talk to me until she's blue in the face, but I'm not going to run that marathon. I'm not going to even want to live that type of lifestyle. And, I look at that in relationships. There's no way you can change somebody who doesn't want to be changed. If it's not in them to do that or live a certain way, that's a short-term action. You know, they might change a little bit, or they might, you know, go back and forth. But it won't be. There will be no consistency in that relationship if you try to change somebody.
And I'm going to take it even one step further, Tony, because that is a great question. You're right, because I see it all the time. I see women that do that. I was one of them. You know, before I got married, I said, oh, well, you know, he's doing these things, but he'll change when he's married. Oh, my goodness. But I'm going to take it one step further. What about married people that are cheating with someone outside the marriage, of course, and they leave their spouse for this other person, and then they expect the other person not to turn around and cheat on them? I have seen that so many times. I mean, they have this expectation that all of a sudden the person cheated with them when they were married, so they don't think the person's going to cheat on them with somebody else when they're together. Because I guess they think he'll change. That's amazing to me. I just don't get that mentality. It's just, you know, if it's not there, it's just not there. I want to comment on something the caller that unfortunately we lost him, but he made a interesting comment, and I want to elaborate on that a little bit because I think I might agree. He said that you said you should ask about past relationships.
Definitely.
And I think he might be kind of on to something because, now, granted, everybody's not going to always be honest up front about their past relationships. You may have to kind of get creative and find ways to get the answers. But if you do hear someone talk about their ex in a certain way, couldn't that give you an indication that that may be a red flag?
Definitely, definitely. And that's just like, if somebody said they, you know, they had a problem with stealing or they had a problem with, you know, beating their wife, you would tend to, you know, if you didn't know that, you wouldn't even look at him. You wouldn't look at him a certain way, or you wouldn't look at her. You wouldn't look at, you know, her a certain way. But it's like when you find that information out, you know what's in them. Just like they're trying to change, you know what's in them. So you know what, you know, true people change, but. To make a lot, you know, true people change, but people win the lottery too. You know what I'm saying? It happens, but it happens very rarely. So if
people
they have
change,
a history of doing,
they don't change because you push them. They don't change because you push them.
Definitely,
they want to. Yeah.
So when you ask questions like that, you know what they have the potential of doing, and that's a good way to make a decision. Should you move forward or, you know, pull back? So that's definitely a good method in the beginning of a relationship to use.
Yeah, because if they say, you know, even if they say, you know, they've been married 4 or 5 times, I mean, that might be somewhat of a red flag. You know, if a person's been married.
Yeah, that just shows that person gets bored easy. Or that person likes to move around.
Right. Or the person is in love with love. You know, there are a lot of people out there that are actually in love with love. They love that love feeling. And you know how everyone has that love feeling in the beginning and then the relationship moves to a deeper level and that infatuation feeling goes away. You know, some people are actually in love with that infatuation feeling, so they keep chasing it. And once the relationship moves to a deeper level, they leave it because that excitement is gone. So they move on instead of trying to make sure that excitement stays there.
And that was one of the three. That was the communication, finding out about their past, and then the three, overlooking. And a lot of people find this information out about people, but they tend to overlook it because, like you said, they're in love with love.
I agree. What are your thoughts on online dating, internet dating?
And when it began, like when MySpace and these Facebooks and things like that first came out, I was opposed to it because I really didn't know about it. But I'm starting to see from these different, you know, even Tyra Banks shows and, you know, different shows or, you know, just even people's testimonials that people are actually finding true love online. Yes, it's dangerous, just like meeting somebody at a bar or a club or anywhere is dangerous. You really don't know people, but I'm starting to see with technology and, you know, the different avenues of communicating we have now, I'm really not opposed to it.
Yeah. I mean, I think I've heard both good and bad about it. I mean, either way, whether you meet someone in a club or whether you meet someone online, you have to be careful.
Definitely.
You have to get to know the person. You have to be selective in, you know, what you tell them or information you give out. whether you see them live or either way. So, I mean, I think it still comes down to, like you said, those three things: the compatibility, communication, and overlooking signs.
Mm-hmm.
I think it still comes down to those things.
But yeah, I definitely believe online dating is going to catch on even bigger than what it is now, because a lot of people say, you know, you don't know this person can be this. It's just the main part you have to do with online dating is pick a safe place once you decide to meet. Because a lot of people say, still, you know, I'd rather meet somebody in person, and, you know, I'm trying to paint a picture here. You know, this might sound graphic, but, hey, Jeffrey Dahmer met his victims at a club. So meeting somebody out doesn't guarantee you a safe partner. So the main thing with making that work is just to pick a safe place to meet and keep meeting at safe places until you really, really get to know the person you're getting involved with.
Right, exactly. And then as far as online dating, just keep in mind, I think maybe what people forget is that there are a lot of crazies out there, but there are also a lot of crazies out in the street too. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, you just have to be very careful. I mean, there are good men out there. There are good women out there.
Mm-hmm.
But whoever and whatever you may be looking for, it's out there. If you're looking for somebody that wants a serious, committed relationship, they're out there. If you want somebody that's looking for a fling and a one-night stand, they're out there.
Mm-hmm.
So you just got to know the questions to answer and what to ask. And like you said about overlooking things, you got to be aware and pay attention to the red flags when you see them.
Definitely.
And Taffy, I wanted to say, because you just said red flags, and Jason, I know that's a chapter in your book. Can you talk a little bit about that?
I even take one of my situations. I remember back in college dating a young woman where I think like a week or two into it, like, she started like a huge argument over something like very, very small. And, you know, I tend to people really don't understand, like, what somebody shows you at the beginning, it will get worse. Like, if he smacks you in the beginning, 9 times out of 10, he's going to close his fist up and he's going to start punching you. And I'm not trying to, like, you know, talk about all people like that, but I'm just saying all situations, you have to look at every sign or every action somebody gives you, because those are the tall tale signs. Like, actions, I mean, words are so easy. I can tell you and Tony right now, Kathy, that I had dinner with Elvis. That is so easy for me to tell you that. But for
That's
me to
right.
show you is a totally different story. So a lot of people's actions speak so louder, you know, so much louder than their words. So the red flags and the vibes and stuff like that are their true – is the true person. You know what I mean? But people look at, well, he tells me he loves me. Yeah, he hits me, or he cheats on me, or she cheats on me, or, you know, she uses me for my money, but she tells me she loves me. And I'm like, come on, I can tell you I love you. It's so easy to do. So the red flags are the real person coming out of them at different times of the relationship.
And so instead of saying to yourself, oh, this is something, and this is a one-time thing, just pay attention to that action, because that action could actually be something that is going to escalate later on.
Definitely, definitely. And all you have to do is sit back and watch, because it usually does. You watch it, it'll happen again. And that's when you know, okay, that's a part of them. They're not just, they're saying it's not them, but that's them. That's the real them. I don't know if you remember that game you used to play, you know, with little kids. It's like pick-a-boos. Like, you put your hands over your face, and then you open your hands up, you say pick-a-boo. And I kind of look at, you know, the red flags and vibes is kind of like they tend to open up times, you know, different times of the relationship. It's kind of like the pick-a-boo effect. You're like, oh, here's the real me. Let me close myself up again. Here's the real me, you know, close myself up. And a lot of people they overlook those. They overlook those actions.
Got it. Understand. Kathy, you have any questions? I was afraid we lost her. and sometimes that happens, the line will drop off, and I know she'll join us here in a second. I know as we're about 6 minutes before the end of the show, I know that you and Kathy have an event coming up, and I definitely want to make sure that we start discussing the event coming up. Tell us a little bit about what's going to happen in about a month or so.
I am so sorry, guys. I am
there
really
you are.
Sorry
okay.
about this.
Okay.
Yeah, I am really sorry about this. Whew, I'm not sure what's going on with the phone lines, but it happens occasionally. But I'm sorry, Tony. I don't know if you were in the middle of
saying something. I was just saying to Jason, I know the two of you have an event coming up, and I know we were getting short
well,
on
before
time.
Before we get
so
to that, if you don't mind, before you get to that, I want to just address the question in the chat room because this gentleman has been waiting very patiently to get Jason's opinion about, and I totally understand what he's saying. He feels that some females, when guys are trying to look for a good woman, that some females have very unreal and outrageous expectations, you know, and they want a guy that looks like, you know, a movie star or has a six pack or makes a lot of money or drives a BMW or drives a Mercedes. And if he doesn't meet any of that criteria, she just won't look his way. You know,
mm-hmm.
he's just not up to her. He is just not up to her standards. So, you know, she's not interested. So, What do you do? What do you do when you run into women like that miss a good man? I mean, a good man may be standing right in front of them, but because he doesn't drive a Mercedes or he doesn't look like Shamar Moore, she's not interested.
I would tell him that you shouldn't even chance or even building a relationship with a person like that, because if it does work, trust me, she will leave you for the Shamar Moore or the guy with the Benz. Basically, if you guys are in a relationship or even starting something up, you're basically the guy that she's just passing time with. Because if she's telling you that's what she wants and you don't have that, she's going to get what she wants. So if you guys are together, she's just passing the time with you. So I wouldn't even want to open myself up to a relationship like that. But don't get me wrong. There's guys out here that love to do stuff like that. Hey, she likes the guy that drives a Benz, so I'll buy a Benz. She likes a guy that looks like that, so I'm going to try to look like that. But that's just an artificial relationship, and you will get left for a guy that has the real, genuine things that she's looking for.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. All right. That makes sense to me. I mean, if you really want somebody that is solid, and, I mean, if she's superficial, you probably wouldn't want her anyway if that's what she's looking for. I mean, you want somebody that has the same type of character and qualities that you possess. So, you know, and he's saying that he's talking about women that claim they want a man of character, but yet they disregard him if he lacks those. Well, again, the gentleman in the chat room, you know, we're both saying the same thing. Jason and I are both saying the same thing, that, you know, if that woman is inconsistent in what she's saying, obviously she's not the one for you.
Definitely.
Yeah. So, and that goes both ways. If a woman or a man is inconsistent, if her behavior is not matching what she's saying to you, or if she's telling you she wants something that you don't have, she's not the one for you. Or if he's telling a woman that he wants something that she doesn't have, then they're not the one for each other. So I would just move on with that. Well, Jason, we've got 1 minute to go, and I knew the show was going to go very quickly, and you've been a great guest, and I really appreciate it. And quickly, I want to just make a comment. Tony said something about our upcoming event, and I do want to talk about that. For those of you who are close to Indianapolis, Indiana, Jason and I are in the process of planning an event. It's a women's workshop, a women's forum, and it's called Healing Hearts. And it's going to be sometime in the probably late July, maybe early August time frame. We're not exactly sure on the date, but just keep an eye on my website, and I'll have information out there about that. And we're going to plan to do that once a quarter, so just keep an eye out for that. Jason and I will be announcing more about that later on in the upcoming months.
Definitely.
Jason, we want to thank you so very much for joining us this evening. You have been a wonderful, wonderful guest, and, you know, we're running down to our last 40 seconds, so thank you again for your great comments and answers.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it, and if anybody else have any questions, you can email me or go to my website at loverloser.com.
Great. That's Lover, L-O-V-E-R, Loser, L-O-S-E-R.com.
Yes. Yes.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Jason. We're going to sign off for now. I'm Kathy Holloway-Hill.
And I'm Tony DeMott.
And we will not be here next week, but we will see you on the 13th of May, the following week. Everyone have a wonderful, wonderful spring. Enjoy the beautiful weather. Good night, everyone.